Hello everyone, the garage is once again unlocked and open for the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer, the third host of the EG3 show NASCAR podcast. We are all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all the motorsports. And yes, Iowa this weekend. And also, this is the last new episode of the podcast for a week and a half. Of course, I'll dive into that later on in the stage break edition of the podcast. Yes, I'll go into more detail if you have not been paying attention here on the EG3 show. Yes, I am finally going on vacation on this edition. Also, talk about Iowa, breaking that down, and of course, we'll get into right now the biggest news stories of the week, which include the Cup Series. Joe Gibbs Racing hit with L1 penalties. There's that dreaded penalty letter / number, L1 penalties, as we have seen pretty much a lot here this season. A lot to get to in this packed stage break. Let's dive right on into business, shall we? With, of course, Joe Gibbs Racing. Yes, before the Monster Energy's NASCAR Series race from Pocono last week, we talked about earlier this week the fact that, you know, blowing, they had to deal with the weird weather, or I wasn't say weird weather, but the rain that came across the state of Michigan last weekend. And of course, the Monster Energy fellas are off this weekend. They will resume action at Sonoma next weekend out in California. That's where I'll be at. Not at the racetrack. Unfortunately, I'll be not even close in that area. I'll be north of the state of California, but the Cup boys will be a little bit towards down south, Sonoma wine country, maybe a couple hours from where I am going to be roaming around at. Me and my wife and the mother-in-law will be at over there, over in that area somewhere. But yes, wine country, the first road course of the year in a Cup Series next weekend. That is going to be an interesting race, which could have, I mean, the Michigan last week, obviously, we could have seen it easily, in my opinion, a first-time winner in victory lane, but we only saw one car take the strategy. Obviously, I've been talking about it throughout the week. Clint Bowyer scoring that victory in his second of the year. Before I talk more about Bowyer, the L1 penalties on Joe Gibbs Racing handed out in the middle of this week. Joe Gibbs Racing, the 11, 18, and 20 cars, for those who don't know, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Eric Jones were hit with L1 level penalties for having splitters that did not meet rule specifications during pre-race inspection before Sunday's race, failing it three times. Obviously, all three of them had to start shotgun in the Cup race last weekend. And of course, the crew chiefs, Mike Wheeler, Adam Stevens, Chris Gale, were all fined $25,000 due to Tuesday's penalty report this week. And of course, the new rule that's been enforced throughout the year, these car chiefs are suspended for a Sonoma race. Brandon Griffith for Hamlin, Nate Bellows for Kyle Busch, and Jason Overstreet, car chief for Eric Jones, all of them will be suspended for the next race. So it does not, unfortunately for them, it does not count the off week. It has to go, obviously, to the next points paying race, which is Sonoma next week. And interesting enough, luckily enough, Daniel Suarez did not have these issues as well. Definitely 75% of Joe Gibbs Racing hit with this penalty. Not like it really mattered anyways, because the Fords were all up in Toyota's business. And obviously, same with Chevy as well. Not really a factor in last weekend's event. Of course, Kyle Busch, though, did finish in the top five last week with a fourth place position. Then you had Denny Hamlin finished 12th and Eric Jones 15th. So all of them finished inside the top 15 there in the Michigan race last week. So yeah, I find it really strange that almost all those Joe Gibbs racing cars had issues except for Daniel Suarez in a 19 Aris Toyota. So definitely something was amiss going on with those cars. Obviously, you know, the way that Kyle Busch has been rolling off wins this year, not really. I mean, not to say that the splitters have an advantage because of the new changes with the car that's really helped out Ford, but pertaining to last year when Toyota had the advantage with the rules package, with the body issue, especially the underneath stuff this year, you know, the familiar rule change, tweaking it up, putting it in the breadbasket of Ford, and they have really taken off. And a perfect example, going back to last week and seeing majority of those Fords up in the top 10 and fast throughout the weekend. EG3 Show, your stage break edition. Eddie Greer III here with you guys this evening, getting you set for the Iowa Weekend Cup. No Cup, guys, this weekend. Xfinity on Sunday, on Father's Day, and then you have tomorrow, you have all day trucks. Of course, Xfinity will be out there also. There are two practice sessions, and then trucks, a one-day show. You got all practice sessions in the morning, qualifying, and then put them up in the afternoon to go racing later in the day tomorrow afternoon. And I'm not, obviously not this Iowa, but hopefully, maybe if I can get it in, squeeze it in, maybe next time the Xfinity guys are over there in Iowa. Knowing how close I live, I don't live about 5 hours away from the actual racetrack in Newton, Iowa. I might take Iowa a visit, but we'll just have to see. It's early with all the scheduling and all the other stuff. I'm about to head the other direction for vacation, but hopefully, I'm actually hoping to work something out to a point where, hey, I can go over there and see. And it's also a quick turnaround for the Xfinity Series. You got them racing this weekend, and then a month later, almost over a month later, they're right back, kind of like Pocono for the Cup Series in Michigan. A quick turnaround, basically a quick turnaround with the ARCA Series racing on Friday evenings at some point, too. So definitely, I might try to link something there with those tickets being very affordable. I might make a stop visit up there in July, but of course it's very early, and we'll just have to see on my schedule what that looks like in July. But definitely, I've had an interest for a couple weeks now trying to get up there before it gets too crazy hectic with the schedule up there. But definitely excited, you know, to off see the trucks and the Xfinity Series take action this weekend. So definitely a big news story this weekend, the L1 penalties handed out to Joe Gibbs Racing. Three teams, the 18, the 11, and the 20 hit with L1 penalties. And fortunately, you know, for Kyle Busch is already in the playoffs, but luckily enough for Denny Hamlin and Eric Jones, they weren't hit with a 20-point penalty. That's also what's interesting with this also. No points were taken away. I mean, you got to look. This was before, and this is probably why, because this was happened before the race and not after. We have all these window issues with the 4, the 9, the 14, the 19. These are just some of the penalties that we've seen here in the first half of the season. Now we're entering the second half of the regular season, and that's quite interesting as well. We talked about L1 penalties being ramped up, but we didn't see any points taken away. That's probably the main reason why, because this happened before the race, not after the race. So, but very fortunate though for Hamlin and Jones, because they are not locked in to the postseason yet. Eric Jones is hanging around inside the top 16. Denny Hamlin is also in there, and they have no stage wins or race wins to be exact here in this season to this point. So definitely, you know, with Kyle Busch having all the headlines to this point of the season, they look to find some speed. We talk about Harvick on the Ford side with Stewart Haas Racing, and how Steve Letarte early in the week discussed that Harvick is obviously a tick better than everybody else on that team. Even though Bowyer won his second race of the year, Almirola has showed speed much of the season, so has Kurt Busch. They have not been to the level, even been to the level of Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Eric Jones, and Daniel Suarez. But we have seen, though, Suarez be fast, and so has Eric Jones, leading laps at Texas here and there and being strong at Charlotte before pit crew issues took him out of the running right there. But definitely interesting scenario there. Just thought about that just now. Like, no points were taken away from those teams, and they should be very fortunate that was worse than what it is. So there is that information. Transitioning to our, I want to talk about for a few minutes here on the stage break, was Clint Bowyer. The comparison has been brought up a few times since Bowyer's second win at MIS. Bowyer to Martin Truex Jr., in which kind of brought to my mind MWR. Obviously, Michael Waltrip Racing, who had its presence felt here in the NASCAR Cup Series for its iconic ups and downs, if you will, back in the early 2000s, and then, of course, shutting its doors somewhere in 2010s. Can't exactly remember exactly, but the exact year. But the point is, it here is a lot of people comparing that Clint Bowyer to Martin Truex Jr. Obviously, both of these guys coming from the Michael Waltrip Racing. They made Michael Waltrip Racing. Clint Bowyer, after Martin Truex signed for a couple years, then Michael Waltrip himself added Clint Bowyer to the mix. And this organization, you know, this is kind of throwing it back a little bit. So I know we're not, I know this is not Thursday, but it is today. It's Friday, and I'm just going to throw it back a little bit to these two cats running for the wildly random Michael Waltrip. This organization obviously took a hit when it first came in this world. Obviously, with all the cheating scandals, especially what happened at Daytona, we can remember that situation where, you know, this team was hit right out of the box with huge penalties, and you haven't even returned laps yet, and you're sitting here, and this at the time was Michael Waltrip himself, Dale Jarrett, and David Ruderman at that time. And and I was a big follower of Michael Waltrip at this time, and was really excited to see this team. Well, I mean, yeah, obviously they had growing pains, but they were really hit down in the dumps there, not missing races, qualifying poorly like crap, and you had to wonder, you know, what is going to happen. But with this team was already going to be out to the dumps. We ain't even ran a race yet, and this team already getting in this organization getting in trouble by not abiding by the rules. Obviously, with the issues that, especially with the Waltrip car had, if I remember, I can't remember exactly what the penalty was. I'll maybe read it later on, but this was a few years ago when this up team started, obviously, and then had no wins. And then David Ruderman came along when the COT, I believe, was it a COT? Yeah, the COT came, believe. They ran a little bit better, obviously. More bad with the good with Michael McDowell's scary qualifying crash at Texas. Ruderman takes over 00 full time. A short trackers himself, you know, gets the ring, his first win at Charlotte. Was rain short and old, by the way, like Clint Bowyer last week. And then all the controversy surrounding that win, you know, he lucked into that win. But hey, you know, this is what NASCAR is. You know, sometimes you're good most days, but sometimes it's better to be lucky as well. Again, see Clint Bowyer last week. Strong, but you put yourself in that position to win the race. And then Ruderman, few weeks later at Chicagoland, which we will be at next month to kick off NBC's coverage of NASCAR. Ruderman makes a statement in prime time by knocking off Jeff Gordon and passing him and eventually winning that race there. That was a big time statement there. And there was not the playoff situation that we have now. It was the chase back then. Still didn't make the chase, but winning those races, that was huge. And obviously, Mark Truex Jr. had its long, long dry spell. Dry spell at that, up until 2013, where he won Sonoma in dominating fashion there, with an emotional win there, with all the close second place, the heartbreaks before that. Truex should have won at least, maybe, with Michael Waltrip Racing, 5 or 6 races off top of my head, for sure. He was there. Atlanta comes to my mind. Kansas obviously comes to my mind there, where he should have won a couple of those races. One that comes to my mind, Denny Hamlin. He was MTJ was the show of the afternoon, and then a wrong adjustment got Denny Hamlin right up to the rear, and then those two battled out, and Denny Hamlin passed Truex, and then, yeah, the rest was history there. So definitely, I know offhand, at least maybe 4 or 5 wins for sure. Truex should have won with Michael Waltrip Racing, and Clint Bowyer also with a big year, also won 3 races, of course, being runner-up to Brad Keselowski in 2013, I want to say. Yeah, that's the same year. Yeah, same season. Bowyer and Michael Waltrip Racing had big-time years there, and then everything changed. The turning point for these individuals happened on the night of Richmond EG3 show. Thanks for tuning in to the Stage Break. Eddie Greer III here with you guys this evening with your Stage Break Iowa. Here in a few moments, after I get done talking about Clint Bowyer and Michael Waltrip, Michael Waltrip Racing and Martin Truex Jr., both these cats taking different paths. They were on the same path for a few years, but with the whole spin gate by Bowyer in the regular season finale to propel Truex to get a spot. He raced his way in at that time. Bowyer was already in the playoffs. So is Truex, though. Truex has got to win at Sonoma as well. And all of a sudden, shit hits the fan. And, yep, you get caught for trying to scheme out something that you probably did or wasn't there. I mean, Truex had no idea at the time. And, you know, rightfully so, with Brian Vickers. You know, Brian Vickers also was on that team, the 55, with the Mark Martin. And there's another driver in that mix also. That's where Rodney Childers comes in their play also, with the talent of, you know, with the 3 different drivers he had with that 55. And that he was getting quality results out of that. And then what you see already, what he has done with Kevin Harvick, that combination, obviously winning a championship and owning this season so far, speaks highly volumes of what Rodney Childers already brings to the table. You got that situation, and then you take away the sponsorships. Napa didn't want to be a part of that. They are gone, and of course, Truex lost the ride there. So did Bowyer, and then and all was not right with those guys after that. They went to separate ways, and then, of course, Truex went to Frontier Racing, where he had a dismal year and everything, accumulation with Sherry and all that other stuff. And Bowyer, you know, going to, I believe it was, H. Scott. Well, he hung around for one more season with Waltrip. Yeah, he did. It was the 15 to 55, because the 56 have already lost. They've already lost the ride. So Waltrip hung around for one. That team hung around for one more year with the 55 and 15 cars. Truex went on to Furniture Row Racing. Already first year was hell. And then, of course, Bowyer did not win another race for Michael Waltrip Racing. That team shut its doors. And Bowyer, after that, went to A. Scott, where he had himself a hell of a season there in the dumps for that organization. You know, all bumps from there. And then, obviously, the turnaround in year two for Truex, finally getting back to victory lane under Cole Pearn, and then you know the rest of history from there. And that was a Chevrolet team at that time, and they had an alliance with RCR, and they were outrunning them boys each and every week, top 10-ing them to death. And even that season, though, they should have won at least four races, because during that stretch, I believe it was transitioning from spring to summer, they had at least led the most laps in like three or four straight races in a row, should have won at least two of those by for sure. And again, I bring up Kansas again, you know, MTJ and Kansas, you know, they have a love-hate relationship, but it's all good now with two wins, and nearly got a third a month and a half ago. And then Bowyer, obviously, being tabbed to take over Tony Stewart's ride in that 14 for Stewart Haas Racing. And we all expected, hey, you know, Tony Stewart at least won a race in his final year. I'm like, hey, this is Clint Bowyer's golden opportunity to get back up here and make something happen. Well, we all thought that. And then he and Mike Bogorowicz were butting heads last year, and they did not make the playoffs. And then you turn around to this year, second year, you put down two wins, Martinsville, breaking that 190-plus race winning streak, and then you win here, your recent winner again, Clint Bowyer, into the off week, second win of the year. Truex has two wins this year, and then you go back, obviously, last year with Truex, obviously, with the eight wins, four in the regular season, and then four in the playoffs, and a tremendous finishing average for Truex, over second place, and obviously with the drive to the championship, and that's where he stands now. So I find that, you know, kind of interesting with these two guys where they're at now. Obviously, you know, David Reagan, who's a part of that last little chapter there for MWR there with Front Row Motorsports now, Mark Martin doing his own podcast, David Ruderman still probably short tracking him up the last time I heard, and Rodney Childers is a Monster Energy NASCAR crew chief champion with Kevin Harvick, and no reason at this point of the game. I mean, yeah, we still got plenty of racing left, but showing why that they could get back to Championship 4 yet again with the combo, but anything can happen. We've seen it time and time again, and once we get to the playoffs, especially in the first round, you have the debut of the Roval at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the first cutoff race in the postseason. So all that being said, you know, the 14 to 78, they have had definitely their interesting paths here. Clint Bowyer doing it the old-fashioned way, getting to where he's at, and then into going through that with Truex, obviously the defending champ, and now has newfound confidence that, hey, we can go back here and try to get back here to repeat. But, you know, repeating is hard enough as it is, especially with the format that's in place where you have to be good in three races in a three-race stretch. There's no control over, you know, the bad luck and all that, but you can definitely control your destiny, but outside circumstances can definitely hurt you. You can't have all these mistakes, especially, I mean, you can only do it so many times, but you have to have everybody on board. Clint Bowyer, Mike Bogorowicz, you know, Tony Stewart said on Monday that more wins are coming. That might be a good sign for Stewart. More of a positive for Stewart Haas, because you already have Kevin Harvick winning, and you're yet to see Kurt Busch back in victory lane, and you're winning at the chance to see Eric Almirola reach victory lane. He's in the midst of his long winless drought. So, you know, these two definitely have the paths, but, you know, Bowyer, we yet to see how the 2018 campaign ends with him. Already two victories, and he's going to go back to the playoffs for the first time in a few years, and he's going to be looking at his chapter. You know that the personality that Bowyer has, the most enjoyable, most bright, interesting personalities in the sport, celebrates a win like it's his first, and you know he's going to be looking at shops to get back and try to make a run. And the tracks definitely set up for him. And of course, the unknown is the Roval here. So that's really the, and then of course you got Talladega. But Poyers has been good on plate tracks for a few years now. And then when you have that horsepower under the hood like Ford does, you got a chance to go someplace. And when it was set up, this postseason schedule is set up almost perfectly for Bowyer. You already won at Martinsville earlier this year. That's in there. So, you know, all this talk about, you know, including us on the podcast, all this discussion about, you know, the Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and then, of course, Truex a little bit there. But these three guys, you know, there only can be four spots. And, of course, the rule of thumb in the postseason is you win, you advance to the next round. So I mean, and let's not forget some of these cats that have not won yet. They can definitely throw a monkey into the rich of that. What if we have two different winners when we get, I mean, this is a long ways off still in the playoffs, but what if we get two different winners that are not Kevin or Kyle Busch or Kevin Harvick? I mean, that's going to be interesting the way this is playing out right now. You know, it's making a prediction model a little bit. If the trend goes, especially with the playoff points they have racked up, you know, if they perform, they still got to go out and perform and leave it out on the line, because you can't necessarily rely on points. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. still went out in the postseason and put it down on the competition, and yep, he controlled his own destiny, and he got it last year with that championship. So, I mean, it's all not peaches and roses, if you will. I mean, you still got to go out there and perform and do the job right. I know all these points are accumulating, including not even, this is not even counting the additional points that you win the regular season championship, which Kyle Busch is in that position right now. And if you're in the top 10 in points, you get those points also added on to the playoff total as well. So that's not even counting that. So definitely it could be an interesting scenario to see who's going to be that eight battling for those four spots in late October, early November. That's going to be the key question. But Bowyer definitely is going to be in, could be in that conversation if he can get by past the two rounds. And then Martin Truex Jr. on his end of the scale trying to that uncommonly repeat, and it scares me a little bit with, you know, the format and everything else. I mean, Truex Nation, shout out. We have seen it both ways, you know, the heartbreak the year before last, and then, of course, all in culminate with the championship. So it's no telling how this is going to go either. So, but these two this year have scored two wins. And yes, they're on down similar paths, but we have yet to see how this year, this rejuvenation year for Bowyer, plays out when we get to the postseason. EG3 Show, Eddie Green III here with you guys tonight. Stage Break Edition. Now it's time for a little plug here, folks. I've been talking about vacation. Before I talk Iowa here, yes, I've been talking about my vacation. Yes. For those of you just tuning in and have missed the announcement, yes, I am leaving for Nevada and California this Sunday, so there will be no show because I'm not taking my equipment with me on vacation. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to leave my computer and everything else right here in Little Apple until I come back, which means there's going to be no EG3 Show episode next week. But the following Wednesday, we'll be right back here, giving you the post-race reaction from Sonoma. I'm not going to be watching the race of Sonoma, obviously, on Sunday, but I'm going to keep my eyes out. And then when I get back from the airport in Kansas City, making that drive to Kansas City to the Little Apple here in Manhattan, Kansas, I will watch the race of Sonoma that night or the next morning. And then I'll have my thoughts for that race only and maybe give you some news updates as well. But definitely for sure post race reaction, for sure, not next week, obviously, but the following Wednesday, I'll have post-race reaction from Sonoma. So there's no EG3 show all of next week. So definitely, this is your opportunity to catch up on the latest episodes, including this one, which will be posted some point tomorrow. That's a Saturday. Yeah, that's be either sometime Saturday, maybe in the afternoon before I definitely before I head out for sure. But I'll get this posted up Saturday afternoon, Sunday night, and I'll be gone next week. All the way, I'll be back the following Tuesday afternoon, evening, and then I'll be back on with you guys the next day, giving you a doubleheader post-race reaction for sure. In a race to the playoffs, driver of course of my choosing, the last two, of course, Brad Keselowski last week, and then if you miss, Kurt Busch. I just recently posted that up as well this morning, so definitely jump on that, catch up on your latest episodes of the EG3 show while I'm gone. That would be nice as well for you guys. So definitely want to give you a heads up. Yes, I'm going AWOL for a little bit. And the cup schedule kind of worked its way. It's into my favor a little bit because there's nothing going on cup-wise. But yes, there's going to be Xfinity Series action going on Sunday. And, of course, the trucks tomorrow at Iowa. But no cup racing. And then, of course, Sunday, I'll be out there. I think I'll be in Nevada on Sunday, doing activities there. And of course, Monday and then Tuesday afternoon, I'll be landing back. Me and my wife will be back in KC right there. So yeah, that's just a small rundown. Not gonna give you the full rundown obviously until I get back from what I did for my vacation, but definitely, yes, so definitely vacation, no EG3 show at all next week. Not bring my equipment all the way to haul that thing all the way across the West Coast. Leaving it here, enjoying myself. Haven't seen Nevada or California. Definitely pumped up for that. So, but also definitely, that doesn't mean no. I'm gonna be tuned all the way out though. I'll be peeking in here, you know, taking a look. I might squeeze in a little racing action. I'm not sure how that's gonna go, but I'll definitely be peeking in though. See what's happening, especially not this Sunday with Father's Day, but next Sunday. I'll definitely be looking inwards and see how everything is going on with the track road course at Sonoma, the first one of the year, which is going to be interesting. And then, you know, you have the AJ Allmendinger factor going up in there as well. I've always said this for the last several years about him. Golden opportunity for somebody else to try to get in the victory lane and to steal a possible spot in the playoffs. And we've only seen probably six drivers reach victory lane. So it's all for the taking right now for these other drivers. And definitely I'm surprised that, you know, we did not see a lot more gamblers than we usually see when weather's in the area. So that's why it's kind of a shocker to see only one car. And that's the car that's already won a race this year, padding up the playoff total. So that's a kind of a plug-in for you guys right there. So definitely keep that in mind. Definitely think of us while we are away, and we'll definitely be back with new episodes July 27th, beginning with post-race reaction Sonoma. I'll definitely have that once I sit and rewatch the race. Moving on to Iowa, of course, Iowa, the Cable World Truck Series race, the M&M's 200. Of course, that's going to be an all-day event tomorrow, and then of course Xfinity will be on track as well. Lots of activity this weekend at Iowa, especially tomorrow. Of course, Johnny Sauter leading the point standings as it is, plus 77 over Noah Gregson, who is hungry for win number two, and he wants to get it at Iowa tomorrow. We'll see what happens with that. Brett Moffitt third, Grant Infinger fourth, Matt Craftinger top five in the driver standings in the Cable World Truck Series. You're listening to the EG3 show. Yours truly, Eddie Greer III, your stage break, kind of your preview here of Iowa, and of course, looking down the road for me here the next couple weeks. Johnny Sauter, your playoff points by plenty, by 12 over Noah Gregson, who's Sauter 22 playoff points. That's a lot, and he could add more to that with 4 wins and a couple of stage wins. Noah Gregson, 10. He and Sauter are in double digits. And then you have Brett Moffitt with 6. Grant Imbinger, well, actually, NASCAR.com for some reason has this juggled in a little bit. It should be Ben Rhodes, Stuart Friesen, Grant Imbinger. Those guys have playoff points 2-2-2-1 respectively. Matt Crafton and Justin Haley. Haley has the final spot in the playoffs right now. That could change. You never know. You know, with these guys, you know, Johnny Sauter has owned this series so far this year. And could we see a different winner? Last week, Stuart Friesen almost got the job done. Couldn't quite get to the back bumper of Johnny Sauter. So we'll see what happens tomorrow afternoon out there at the Speedway. But definitely interesting field here for this race. And of note, John Hunter Nemechek is doing double duty. He'll be racing the Xfinity Series on Sunday and taking place in the M&M's 200 in the trucks here as well. Ty Gillen, who had a banner night last week at Texas, in this as well. Harrison Burton returns to the 51 truck as well. So then you have Jesse Leto also in the field in that 97 truck as well. Turn your attention to the Xfinity Series now with the Iowa 250, which it will be on. I believe MRN will have coverage of this race. I'm gonna check the schedule that now. But while I'm still on hanging with the Truck Series, real quick, the M&M's 200 presented by Casey's General Store. MRN will have coverage of this race tomorrow night. FS1, of course, has all the truck races, 6 Central Time, in the listening states of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, wherever you at in the central part, 7 Eastern Time. MRN has coverage of that. And you flip the script tomorrow, I mean not tomorrow, Sunday afternoon on Father's Day, the Iowa 250 presented by Enogen. Coverage starts 5 Eastern Time, 4 Central Time. MRN has both races, and so does FS1, who have both the races as well. And I saw the entry list for the Xfinity Series. I did not see a Cup driver in this mix at all. But John Nemechek is back in the 42. Joe, his father Joe, in the field this weekend as well. Austin Cindric is in the 22. For Roger Penske, Shane Lee, who's put down some good performances in that 3 for RCR, is going to be in the field as well. So looking forward to the Xfinity Series race on Sunday. Dang, I keep saying tomorrow is, well, though for those of you who are going to listen to the podcast, it'll be posted up on Saturday. It'll be tomorrow, but today is Friday, which I have to say, it's going to be on Sunday, not tomorrow, because tomorrow is Saturday. So, and then also making a debut, apparently, for Joe Gibbs Racing, Riley Hurst in the 18 will be driving for Joe Gibbs, making an appearance at Iowa. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And then Ty Majeski, an Iowa native, it returns to the 60 for Roush Fenway Racing. He made his debut at this track last year with a top 15 finish there. So an opportunity here to see some great racing this weekend there. And then of course next weekend will not be on, so definitely we'll recap. It could be a big show on the 27th, all what's going on there. So definitely I will keep tabs on what's going on there. So definitely I will not be out of loop for sure when I come back. I will keep pace whatever's going on, especially with the way social media is nowadays. So definitely looking forward to that. All right, folks, few more minutes on the stage break, EG3 edition. Eddie Greer III here with you guys. Thank you for tuning in to this stage break episode. So fantasy last week with Stuart Friesen, And dang it, I had it for a moment there, and I lost it. Cole Custer and Chase Elliott had a big fantasy day with that. I did not total up the points at this time, so I'm going to have to go back and do that. So that was big on that end. So I have my fantasy picks coming up here, kind of my, what we're going to call it, the Stone Cold Locks here this week. Obviously, there will be none next weekend. But I might sneak one in or two while I'm on vacation. But you might want to stay tuned on that note on my Twitter handle at @Eddie_EG3. But focusing on the Stone Cold Locks this weekend for the truck race tomorrow, I am going to go with Todd Gilliland in the 4 for Kyle Busch Motorsports. He led over 30 laps at Texas last weekend. And yes, Johnny Sauter has been the man in the truck series, but Gillen was strong at the mile and a half last weekend, calling a little bit of that race. Obviously, again, if you have not listened to that, you should catch up on the latest EG3 episodes while I'm gone. Spread the word. But yes, Todd Gillen, my Stone Cold Lock there, going to ride with him in the 4, and then in the Xfinity Series, I'm not going to go with a regular. I'm going to go with somebody who's a former winner at this racetrack, who knows how to get around here. I've already spoke about him doing double duty. That in the person of John Hunter Nemechek, I think he's going to give a nice ride in that 42. He's been kind of, you know, under the radar, if you will, you know, with Daniel Hemric and Cole Custer. You know, John Hunter Nemechek, I think, should get the rest of the races. I mean, yes, he's dibble-dabbling in a truck series still and all that, but you know, he has some type of a 20-race season with Ganassi. I really thought, you know, turn him loose. You know, he's given some great performances in that 42 in the Xfinity Series. I'm going to roll with him to possibly get another top 10, maybe sneaking another win in here. So definitely Ty Gillen, Stone Cold Lock this weekend in the trucks. John Hunter Nemechek, I'm going to roll with on Sunday on Father's Day. Any Xfinity Series, the Iowa 250. And speaking of Father's Day as well, definitely want to wish Happy Father's Day to my dad as well. And you should all do the same this weekend. I'll be talking to him at some point this weekend. And you guys who listen to the show should do the same as well. Definitely do that as well. Big weekend for fathers, and definitely big weekend for all the participants running in the Truck Series race and the Xfinity Series races this weekend. And of course, another note nugget here before we wrap up the show here. Kyle Larson made a visit to Chicago yesterday, of course, promoting the race at Chicagoland. Of course, the last couple of years, we've seen Chicagoland Speedway be the opening race of the postseason. With the changes, they're the first race of NBC's schedule here in January. Man, where am I at? Not January. In July, July 1st, or the first Sunday weekend in July, we will have those guys up in Chicagoland getting ready for that. And that's where Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, even though he's already been the booth for NBC, will make his regular season debut up there in his first official race with Rick Allen, Jeff Burton, Steve Letarte, and the boys up there. That will be interesting to see his side of things. But I think he's going to do a great job. If he gave a little bit of sneak peek last year in some of those races, I think he's going to be a good job. And speaking of Dale Jr., you know, very disappointed in seeing, you know, the Dale Jr. download go from an hour and change to 30 minutes. For whatever the reason is, they work something out to the point. So hopefully they can still get that in podcast form. You know, we see Race Hub and NASCAR America on, you know, turn the TV into podcast. Hopefully we'll listen to that still, but it's a shorter version. That stinks, especially for a lot of the junior fans who listen to that. There are a lot of people who listen to that podcast, obviously. But, you know, with the time change, you know, shrinking it down a little bit, that's disappointing in itself. So, But hopefully, you know, we'll still listen to it. I mean, yes, it's going to, from one tweet that I read yesterday, you know, it's going to cut down the listenership quite significantly with, you know, all that solid information, the great stories that we hear from Dale Earnhardt Jr., from topics, whatever he's talking about, from being a dad to whatever, a former race car driver, you know, the story with he and Bush and all that other stuff, you know, trying, you know, to be the best dad he can to that and everything else. Just amazing to hear that. But now we're going to have to hear 30 minutes less than that. That kind of sucks, in my opinion, you know, you want to hear, you know, good podcasts. That's one of them for sure, definitely. And now, you know, with this, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. being part of the NBC Sports Gang team, and you know what he has, you know, what his commitment is and whatnot, they probably work something out to plan that, hey, you know, we want to trim this down. But hey, I don't know the full details. I just saw that, you know, after NASCAR America, I think it was on either Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure the full details, but after NASCAR America, they're going to do a 30-minute segment of the Dale Jr. Download, only 30 minutes. So that has to suck for Jr. Nation. You know, you're not going to get your hour and change listening to Dale Jr. talk about racing and funny random nonsense. but yeah, that kind of sucks there on that front of the spectrum. Facebook.com/EG3Show for the latest in news, notes, and things like that. Even though I'm going to be gone, you're probably going to listen to me here. Well, not listen, but hear from me more on the Facebook side of things, on the Facebook page, with all that's going on in the racing world from now up until the 27th, when we're back on with new episodes of the EG3 Show, which leads to the Pod Center. Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, we're on there. Apple Podcasts, yes, iTunes. Please, if you're a current follower of the podcast, I still recommend you guys spread it. Tell your friends about the EG3 Show. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast as well. Like to hear from you as well. I'm going to save some of these questions till I get back. Yes, I've been meaning to do that, but have not gotten around to it because when I get into something, I really get into something. I forget sometimes to get to those questions, but definitely send questions my way, and I might have a couple for you. Definitely for sure. I'll have to put that in my notes here so I can get it down to my rundown for the 27th for sure. Definitely, I'm going to answer some of those questions when I return. The 27th, when I talk about the Sonoma race from the Monster Energy Cup side of things, and maybe review some of these races as well in my absence there. So definitely check it out, and definitely tell your friends to what? Join the movement. Join the movement on the EG3 Show. You don't want to miss it, especially when we come back on. When we come back on the 27th, NBC will transition. We'll have all the races, so definitely that's kind of a perfect transition into NBC slate of the season, which takes us all the way to Homestead for the Final Four to see who's going to be the champion there on that aspect as well. So definitely exciting, you know, to finally take a time out and recharge and come back prop with better than ever with new episodes of the EG3 Show. Cannot wait to get back to you guys and talk racing with you guys. Before we close up shop, though, let's take a quick look at the playoff points on the Xfinity Series side, if it decides to load up. Yes, but first, the driver standings real quick. Elliott Sadler holds a 41-point advantage on Cole Custer. Daniel Hemric, another 8 back. Then Tyler Reddick is 4th. Christopher Bell, your top 5. Their playoff points, as it speaks right now, again, for whatever reason, they have this mixed up, but it's due to wins. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell have wins. Allgaier's win was canceled out due to failing post-race. And then Elliott Sadler Tyler Reddick still leads in the playoff department by 1 on Sadler. And then, no, I got it all wrong. Let me check that real quick. Christopher Bell leads the playoff category with 7, then Reddick, then Sadler, and then you got here Daniel Hemric with 2, Allgaier with 1, Brennan Jones the other one has one. Then, of course, the other guys with none. Cole Custer, who's in fifth right now in the playoff standings. Ryan Truex, eighth. Matt Tiff, ninth. Ryan Reed, tenth. Austin Cindric in 11th. Doing double duty this year for both to 22 and to 60 cars. And in playoff position right now. And Ross Chastain, plus 25 on John Hunter Nemechek right now going into Iowa. And Ryan Sieg behind him, 2 points back of Nemechek right there. John Hunter for the first cutoff. So definitely Ross Chastain. Can he continue the performance there of that four car and put himself in position to get a playoff spot? That's something to keep an eye on here as the summer, as we get in to the dog days of summer. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap things up for the EG3 show this week. Eddie Gritter III saying thank you so much for tuning in to the EG3 show NASCAR podcast. Again, we will not be on next week, but the following Wednesday. Mark it down, folks. Following Wednesday, July 27th, we will be back with new episodes, beginning with post-race reaction from Sonoma. Man, I can't wait, but I also can't wait to get this vacation started, folks. So definitely, I'm looking forward to that. But definitely, though, enjoy Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to my dad, and happy Father's Day to all the dads in NASCAR community and everywhere for that matter. Enjoy the weekend, and definitely enjoy racing at Iowa. Who will take the checkered flag when the checkered flag falls on this weekend? The M&M's 200, the Iowa 250, going to go down Newton, Iowa, Iowa Speedway. Looking forward to activity there. We're closing shop on the EG3 show. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you July 27th on the EG3 show podcast. We are out.